upgrade your tool storage for the new year with help from Menards. For heavy-duty storage that protects your tools, choose MasterForce. From shelving units to cabinets and so much more, you can keep your tools safe and within reach. Get versatile and durable storage from MasterForce today. Check out all our MasterForce storage in-store or check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money at
Menards. Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
It was just taking a rest.
It did drag out a little bit though, but
we can do rapid now. Yeah, when there's like eight people going around saying I've got this beer I bought from Asda, it was like I had a fancy fucking lid or whatever.
Yeah, it's got and a fancy then, lid. Then like, I rated 4.2 stars on my app. Like, yeah,
you can't. It goes in 0.25, mate. You kind of do 0.2. It's either 4 or 4.25.
Oh, that's.
Untapped.
The star system. Okay. Lots anyways, I have actually just started it, so I'm going to start off. Welcome along to the Mac and Football Show. Good return to the Premier League, as we'd expect. Just eyeing out a few kinks.
Happy return to the Premier League. Well, I'm sorry, yeah, like so.
Yeah, we're in the pre-season. But, yeah, we'll do the what we're drinking via way of doing introductions as well. So, I want to go first because this is, I guess, more of an American-style drink. Boom.
Mountain Dew. You can get that here in the UK.
I've got
a story about Mountain Dew.
You were just saying, oh, we were dragging out like what you got from Asda.
All right, listen.
No, I need to hear your story.
When we went to Evo Fest in Newcastle, which is when I was back in the uni, so we're talking 15 years ago now, like kind of wild.
Yeah.
Ben Shanks bought a massive 2 liter bottle of Mountain Dew. Shout out Ben, yeah. He bought it in the Sainsbury's on Sea Road. And then he also bought like a 75-centiliter vodka or something like that.
Oh, no.
Walked outside, tipped out half the Mountain Dew, poured in all the vodka. And that was our like pre-drinks on the way to Evo.
That sounds vile.
It was all right. Like, talking like EO started at like midday, right? So we're talking, this must have been about, I don't know, like 10 o'clock in the morning, like slamming this 2 liter Mountain Dew plus vodka mixer on the metro on the way through to Newcastle.
I bet you just looked classy as hell. That's grim. I like it though. Oh, okay. What year was that? 2008?
No, it was back in the uni, so.
Okay. Last time we were
Kenny Wildbat though.
Right. So
it probably was. Not far away.
By the way, my name is Anthony, if this is the first time you're here. And the Mountain Dew story comes from the lovely Andrew. So Andrew, what are you drinking?
I've got a fucking massive bottle of water.
So you're one of them guys.
Like, I'm not one of them guys because, like, you know, you see those guys that wander around the gym with like a massive bottle of water and they're like, nah. I've got this because, I mean, it's twofold. One, it is about fucking 30 degrees outside. It's like 20 to 10 at night and it is fucking roasting. Like, got me window open and that. Secondly, I've got a leak in my house, right? There's a leak from upstairs into downstairs to the utility room. So I've had to switch the water off in the house. But before I did that, I filled up every receptacle app I could possibly fill up with water, and this is one of them.
While they fix it. Fair enough. Smart man. And I'm guessing because you're off camera, you're on the Xbox. Is that right, Alan?
You're right, yeah. Well, yeah. I'm on my Xbox headset.
Nice. Are you what are you playing at the minute
Crystal
whilst
clear.
we're having this lovely
Probably.
conversation?
Ah, you're right, as usual shite, mate. You've been playing Warzone, haven't there? There's nothing else to play.
I haven't touched Warzone for like 2 years. The last game I
It's a
genuinely
shame,
played
mate.
was with you. And the screen face
before you
and
all
just came out. No,
I feel like there's nothing much to you know, like as far as releases go in
yeah.
In the world of computer games, I feel like there's not much. Well, obviously GTA was, everyone was like, oh yeah, it's coming out, and then they went, nah, it's not coming out for another year, or whatever they've said,
it's
so.
March or something next
there's
year,
not much to play, you know, Mark, and I refuse to buy FIFA.
Yeah, fuck FIFA.
So
Mark,
EFC.
Shout out Mark, he put in 2 weeks annual leave on the GTA release date. Like, told his missus, listen, you're going to have to leave us alone for 2 weeks. Told his work, I'll not be in for 2 weeks. And then like, shortly after he did that, they were like, oh, by the way, it's been delayed for until 2026.
That's
hilarious.
Shout
out Mark,
what?
Though.
Is he still having the 2 weeks off, though? That's the more important thing.
I think he said, instead of that, do you want to go to Greece for his missus? And his missus was like, yeah.
Okay, there you go.
I think
he's having
the time off, please.
Go on, I've got a funny feeling that they're going to put, well, obviously AI, it's the big year for AI, isn't it? So I feel like they've gone, I don't know, back to the drawing board, but I reckon it's going to be introduced. Like, I think they're already introducing it to No Man's Sky, not that I play No Man's Sky, but I know that is going to be slowly sort of put in the game. So I think that's what they've done. I think they've seen what AI is doing,
yeah,
and they've took it off release for a bit just so that and sort of not put it in straight away, but have the ability to put it in. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, that makes sense. It just
AI is exploding. Like,
I don't know how it would work with video games though, because kind of isn't the whole point of a video game it learns or does machine learning for your playstyle. That was the whole gimmick. Scaled difficulties and stuff like that. Anyway,
no, I don't know. Well, it's the future. It's the future of gaming, isn't it? Really, I mean, it's the future of everything. But you know, gaming have to look forward, especially if you look at the release date between the last GTA and this one. You know, when are they going to have the time to introduce it? So I imagine that's what they're doing at the minute.
For this, yeah. I am just trying to make sure I've got this information up, because we do want to start talking about it. I don't know it's intangible with the gaming side of it, but
it's been a month since we sat down. Like, come on, allow us 5 minutes to have a little preamble.
I just don't know about AI gaming anymore. Like, I can't really see it until like I see the first example. I don't know if you remember back in.
Have you pressed the button, mate? You've gone crazy.
No.
Like, crazy. Your audio's out of sync.
Oh god.
It was working just fine before.
There you go. Hopefully that will work. Just turn it up and turn it on again.
You sound a little bit better.
There you go. Different device. Different device. There you go. Uh-oh. Audio is bad. Oh, for fuck's sake.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going on.
So Smithy's...
These technical difficulties out earlier. Is it still bad?
Yeah, it's gone all crazy.
Alright, so I'm plugging one of the monitors.
Sorry, we cut this bit out.
When you cut the bit out of the thing, morning, Seymour. Welcome. I'm just going into it.
Uh oh. Big uh-ohs.
Is that better?
A little bit.
I can hear you, but you are so far out of sync with your vid.
Give us a paragraph or a sentence.
So is it the video or is it the audio? Let's try the video. Ah, this is so. There you go. This should be better. Maybe.
No, you're still out of sync.
I don't know.
What did you do? What did you do?
took a fucking drink of Mountain Dew. That was it. Yeah.
At least we got some good Mountain Dew chat.
Yeah, I suppose.
I can't see, so I can hear you. So.
Yeah, it doesn't sound bad to you, though.
It's a bit hit and miss, but like I understand what you're saying. It's not, you know,
okay.
Not fluid.
God, I'm going to have to do a tech refresh, aren't I? Fuck's sake. Can't be having poor quality stuff like this. Anyways, my point was, if you can kind of understand what effect the visual being decent, the early, I'd say late Xbox, early... early Xbox, little Xbox, early 360, they were having a game where they were trying to introduce cross-platform.
I remember.
It wasn't Hyperscape, it was like... What was the fuck name of the game? But it only worked on Windows and Xbox, like it didn't work on PlayStation as well. So like, that first game was the tester for it. I can't really see GTA being the first tester for AI. That was my point. Sorry about that.
It's not. No Man's Sky will be the first to introduce it. That's what's going to happen.
Yeah. Okay.
Which is, I mean, I don't know if you know what No Man's Sky is. You obviously, you know, it's a.
Yeah. I played a bit of No Man's Sky once, but it.
Open universe type game. It's massive.
Yeah.
Self learns, self creates. So they've got to introduce AI. I feel like it's, you know, it's inevitably going to happen. Not all games, but.
Yeah.
Especially like, you know, self-exploration type games, you know, I think, you know, it'll make things interesting because, you know, bumping into NPCs or the same NPCs gets a bit dull, doesn't it? So the outcome of the game will be different every time you play it.
I mean, it's those sandbox style games, you make your own fun at one point, don't you? Do everything you're supposed to and then go, what do I do now?
Yeah.
I'm going to build a tower.
Hey, the biggest news, though, is going to be Silk Song, right? That's definitely coming out before the end of this year.
Listen, we don't talk about Silk Song, right? I've been waiting for fucking 4 years of it here.
It's just...
Sure.
I just hope it's actually like worth all the hype.
I might change my little doofa down into Hornet or something. You know, like I'm chatting with Mark at the minute. Might change it to Hornet.
Until the Silk Song comes out. Until it's actually released, yeah. Or Team Cherry's logo.
Yeah, mate. Yeah. You're in Australia. Go and fuck. I've said you this before. Go and knock on the fucking door and tell it to crack on. Because been waiting some time.
It's way too long. They don't even post anything either.
That's what's frustrating. Yeah. They're just silence. Anyway, let's get on the foy while we've got a chance.
Fair enough. The audio stream rate is lower than recommended. Oh my fucking ears, suck it.
Have you done a refresh of everything or not?
I've done a refresh of everything, yeah.
Oh. Okay.
It should all be.
Well, I guess this is what we got.
I'd cut the majority of the start of that.
We're live.
No, but when he puts it on YouTube,
it's straight on YouTube. There's no editing.
This is as raw as it gets. What I will do though is
there's no football. These cunts are not talking about football.
I'll trim it out and then do that as like the Spotify podcast one that you can listen to in the car, which you can do, by the way.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Cool.
For the purposes of the audio listeners, welcome. I'm Ant for the backup. This is Andy and Alan with me on the stream. Yay! We're back for the preseason, and we're not going to talk about games at all. We don't do that here. We're going to talk about football straight away.
Straight in.
Right, okay.
Straight in.
I think the clear and obvious conversation since obviously getting promoted from the championship through the playoffs is our recruitment throughout the last couple of weeks. Like you said, we've been
a fair amount.
It's been about a month since we did our last podcast. So the end of season three, we started season four of the Mac and Football. So awesome. But yeah,
Smitty, the audio has gone all wrong again.
You want to pick up the conversation? I'll fix my mic. I'm just saying,
I don't think it's
what a great computer, what a great transfer window we've got. I'm going to just literally change my entire mic.
All right,
this bad boy.
Yeah, well, what I would say is I didn't expect them to recruit, or them to recruit, as many as we have in a short space of time. I didn't expect them to break the transfer record.
We've broken it three times or something, haven't we?
Well, we have. So, I thought it would be more conservative. So pleasantly surprised, I guess I would say, at what we've been doing in the market. Obviously, there's other teams jumping in, like Leeds.
Yes, mate. I'm not sure what that's fixed or like, but let's see how we get on. I'm in agreement with you, Al. I didn't think they would go this hard, this quick. Do you know what I mean? Like,
no.
Five, six players in over the course of two or three weeks, so it feels like, you know. Obviously, Lafie signed early doors, and then we've had another five players come in after that. Like Diarra, Adingra, Talby, Siddiqui, and that Ryan Ildo guy, yeah.
They're still going. I've seen numerous people say Ramsdale's been mentioned about goalkeeper. I don't know what I feel about that.
I kind of see that happening. I know Arsenal don't want him, but like, I'd be really surprised.
Who else have I heard? There's a bloke who plays he's another Ivory Coast striker. I think he plays in Turkey.
We're probably going to come onto this thing. We've signed all the Africans, right? So, we're only short of Lafie, suddenly find some Algerian heritage, and then that's it. They're all fucking off to the AFCON.
But I feel like I'm not saying that's why the price is the price, because, you know, football's football, AFCON doesn't come into it, but maybe other teams have looked at it and think we've got better options on the market and would it be missing for a month. So that may be playing into people's thoughts when they're purchasing players, especially for I'm not saying a high price, because I'd say it's a distinctly average price for the Premier League. But, I feel like that we've looked at it. Maybe they're seeing a gap there.
Yeah.
Maybe they think we can get enough points by Christmas with the amount of players that we're going to get in to worry about them going to AFCON.
I completely agree with what you just said in terms of other teams have maybe looked at them and thought they might be off to the AFCON, so we've kind of jumped ahead of them. It's not really too much of a drama for us, especially when you look at the fixtures over the AFCON time. So I think it's middle of December, middle of January, right? So it's a rough time. If I was at the top brass, I'd be looking at them thinking, how many points are we going to get out of that? We play Man City twice. We play Brighton away. We play Liverpool. We play all sorts of fucking half decent teams,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So that's you're thinking, right? if you get 3 points out of that, you're probably doing well, right? Yeah. So
yeah,
maybe it'd be a chance to you know recycle the team round, get some fresh legs on. I'm not against it, and also all of the players that we've signed are not going to make the final. Do you know what I mean? Like, they're gonna come back in drips and drabs, so it's not gonna be six days out for a
Ivory Coast. I'd probably put the Ivory Coast in that mix, like, if I'm gonna be honest with you.
Maybe. So
they've got like five Premier League players then in that Ivory Coast squad, haven't they?
3 or 4.
I mean, Ivory Coast have yeah. always been very good as far as I can remember. I mean, going back to Drogba, right? Did he play for the Ivory Coast?
Yeah, he did.
He was French, wasn't he? So
yeah. Didn't fucking the Tories?
Yeah, they did. Yeah, Aaron Colo played for Ivory Coast.
Yeah. Solomon Kalou. Is
that the other one? Yeah, you're right.
I'm nowhere near my phone, to be honest with you.
Alan's just listing players who used to be good on FIFA, right?
I'm not thinking of Ivory Coast. I've run out now, though. So Solomon Kalou was my last one.
Quick shout out. Welcome, Eddie, Seymour, and Bong in the chat. We have.
Bong in the chat, yeah.
We'll see you, Bong.
Confirmation the audio is okay. I think it might be a Discord thing. But I'm turning my heat off 28 because it's absolutely freezing here.
I said it before, lad. It's fucking hot. Is it hot in your house? It's fucking roasting in my house.
Well, I live in a new build. They're always fucking hot. So, yeah.
Jen.
It's boiling.
I'm fucking roasting it. Anyway.
I've got a question for you then. So go for a lot of the players. Who of the signings that we've brought in is exciting you the most?
I'll tell you who. Two. I've got two, right? I like the sound of Diarra. Obviously, we went in hard for him quite quickly. Yeah. And he is Job's replacement. Young has done it in the past in the French League or whatever, but like has Strasbourg. Been pretty good. Yeah, scored against England, didn't he? So, you know, he's got some about him. I like the sound of him. All right. The fact that we're signing some wingers, some alternatives out wide is interesting for two reasons. One, because probably means Patrick Roberts won't start. Which I'm happy about.
We knew that anyway.
And two, it probably means we're going to play in a certain way, as in, we're always going to have wingers because we've signed three wingers, right? And we've already got wingers on the books, which probably means we're going to play in a certain way with a certain set, always with two blokes out wide, probably fat, pacey blokes to try and hit certain teams on the counter attack if possible. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's interesting. And I also like the signing of Reinildo, or whatever he's called, at left back. I think that was a position that we... Yeah, that guy, Mandeva. I think it was a position we needed to strengthen, and he brings... I mean, he's 31, right? So he's not the typical player Sunderland would sign, but he's been around the block. He's done it.
Mm-hmm.
He's done it. He kind of knows what he's doing. And if you look, I was just having a scroll through his wiki and that. Like 2 years ago, the guy was going for 25, 30 million euros. So to get him essentially on a free is a good bit of business, isn't it? Good bit of business. So hopefully, you know, he slots in there and he's part of a solid back line. I don't know enough about the wingers. I the Talby to the other guy, Adringa, from Brighton.
Yeah, I've heard the people from Brighton are a little bit gutted he's leaving because although they're saying his end product isn't great all the time, he has got quality and he's quick. They're sort of disappointed he's leaving because, like, not as a first team player but as a rotation player. But you know, if they put him in high regard, then, you know, I feel like that's someone who's played in the Premier League. So, yeah.
The guys at Brighton know what they're doing. Like, they run their club very well. So to be at a team like Brighton, you've got to have something about you, right? So,
yeah.
Yeah. And I think that does...
Sorry, I was just taking a drink from my massive bottle of water.
I thought you had a natural drink.
I did read that. I'm telling you, it's not right. Yeah, go on.
Well, what I'm going to say is reference the bar Mandeva, the age of the people we're bringing in. Now, a lot of people were saying, you know, a few weeks ago, Ederson's free agent Ajax, let's get him in. That, what I've liked about the club's business is the club of, because I believe that if we really wanted Ederson, we could have got him. The club have said, no, that's not the direction we're going in. We are going in this direction. They've signed Diarra, right? He's young, right? And it's the resale value. And I think that, you know, I like the way the club is sticking to the guns, and this is how we're doing business. I like the fact they've done business early. I mean, you know, I had to put a lot of people noses out of joint, especially Leeds, because I think Leeds were like, well, we're going to get Diarra. They didn't. I think, is it Manditi, the other lad? They were in for the DRC, the lad from the DRC. They were in for him. We got him. So I feel like we're on the front foot. Yes, yeah, sorry.
Yeah.
I feel like we're on the front foot when it comes to signings. I don't think we're finished. You know, I think. I'd definitely go for a centre-half. I feel like we need to get a centre-half and a goalie. You know, they're the two. Mm-hmm. Once we've got them two, I feel like we can, you know, I'm not saying surprise people in the Premiership, but I think we'd be competitive.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and like we said, you know, at the end of last season, like all we want is survival this season. You know, just to keep us in the league, you know, and I feel like we're going in the right direction. So, you know, I'm pretty happy, to be fair.
I think the overall summary, that's probably just like the fairest one. I think one of the things that I don't think gets shouted out a lot, and it was kind of early talks, because we were recruiting a lot of French-speaking players, the two chaps from the Belgian Pro League, plus Habib Diarra from the... from Strasbourg. It looked like we were just going to go through that, let's find people in Europe, see who's on paper like really, really good, young, talented and gifted. But then with Adingra, he has that Premier League experience, because everyone's outside of him has been, it's going to be a good gamble, like a really good gamble against it. It's putting everything on red or black, isn't it? It's like you've got 50-50 chance of this player going really good or really bad. And I don't know, like,
do you know what else it does much?
Yeah.
The likes of who we've already got, forget about Lafay, because Lafay was always, you know, he's part of that sort of group, really. And he came halfway through, but the likes of Mundell, do you know what I mean? Rig, these players are gonna have to fucking step up now, you know what I mean? And they're looking at signings coming in, and they're going, you know what? I'm not guaranteed a place here. I'm going to have to step my game up. Unless I get pushed out or sold or something like that. We don't know yet, because the transfer window isn't open.
Just on that, I wholeheartedly believe that Mundell can make the step up. I think he's come on quite a lot, even since a year ago when he first started getting a couple of games. Like, I'm not so sure. I'm not too sure about Rig. I know people are big fans of Rig, and I don't dislike him. I'm not sure where he's going to fit into the squad at the minute. I might be proved wrong. Come on,
I'll jump in there a little bit on the Rig side of it. So for me, Rig in the Championship is perfectly shone through the ranks. Like if we were Premier League side when he turned the age he did, he wouldn't be getting in the first squad. It's because of the situation we were in that he has come through, he has proven himself as a talent, and I do think he could compete for position. I don't think he's starting week in, week out, but we were saying he needs rest sometimes as well, so maybe that's a good thing. Maybe he gets picked for the games where he's
best. Yeah, he's still young.
Like, he's not even, he's not even 18 yet, and like he's got...
I'm not saying that he can't do it. I'm just, there's question marks there for me. I mean, there's question marks for everyone. You know, whether O'Neill can do it, whether Wilson can do it, whether Meander can do it. There's got to be question marks on everyone. I mean, for me, though, I do think Mundell's got enough about him to be reasonably successful.
Yeah, but what we're bringing in is creating competition and making sure the players who are... They understand now, right? Okay, so
like Roberts.
We're not messing around. Yeah, well, I feel like, do you know what? I feel like Roberts is going to get moved on. That's what I feel like before the end of the window.
Well, I'd be surprised if he's still here. Isn't it? His contract's still 27, so
but he knows
on his contract.
He's not going to start. He knows he's not going to start. But what I'm trying to say is the competition is healthy. You know what I mean? It's good between the blokes because they'll have to perform to stay in the team. It's not like before where, if you think a couple of seasons ago, I can't really think. Like, Flanagan would come and be centre-half every week. That's just one example. And we go, fucking hell. Do you know what I mean? At least.
I'll tell you who else is like that. Do you remember Chris Maguire, the king? Like, he'd start every week, whether he'd been on the fucking piss the night before or not. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
He was one of them, wasn't he?
I find that funny though, like back in that Championship to League One relegation era, like we had players out on the piss week in, week out, going to the casino, there's a little bit of whatever. And then as soon as one of them goes to fucking Burger King, they're like getting absolutely slapped left, right, and centre. Like, you fat bastard, what are you doing? Like, you can get on the lash, but you can't have a Burger King.
Darren Gibson was a prime example of that, you know what I mean? Darren Gibson fucking driving a fucking Rubdale Road, smashing in cars. You know what I mean? Professional footballer. We've come a long, long way. Do you know what I mean? And hats off to people who run the club at the minute. And bringing in players of, you know, it's a different generation now. They're career driven. They look after themselves. They're fit. Do you know what I mean? They're not fucking about. So I love it. You know what I mean? Competition. I think it's healthy at the minute. I think the club's healthy. So yeah, long may it continue.
That gives me a nice little segue to call out a couple of the messages in the chat. Welcome along, Marco and Mr. Meat Shield. Marco says, "Our club."
Great name.
Right, he's right.
That's a great name,
Mr. Meat Shield. Right, he's my new favourite.
Sorry, Bong. Alan's move, dog. No, Bong, you'll always be my number one, mate.
Nah, I've moved on to Mr. Mitchell.
So, Marco says, our club now has a plan and identity. It's looking to invest in young and very talented players that we can sell for a lot of money in the future. So he's reiterating and essentially like agreeing with you there, Alan. Yeah. Like, we're looking at a very clear strategy.
Mm-hmm.
Evening. The sportscast. Mr. Meatshield says, from the USA, haven't heard these accents since I was at Wembley. Excellent transfer window already. How are you?
Mr. Meatshield is an American. That's,
he might be,
that's
interesting. He might be a Lyndon Gooch or the other way
around. Oh, might be an American.
Might be an expat.
Yeah. Might be.
Yeah, because nobody travels around the world.
Tell us more than the chat, Mr. Meatshield. Tell us your life story. We want to know.
With a name like Meatshield, great power becomes there's great responsibility.
With great names comes great responsibility. Do you know when? Is it you, Andy? That really does like mentioned in this podcast? Like, do you do the screenshots?
Yeah, that's right.
Meatshield
yeah.
will pop up in that one now.
Maybe he will. He should. He should.
Definitely. He's got at least 12. And Marco then says, Riggs' best position is central midfield, not out wide. His game is more suited to being
I expect
more
the fee's going to be playing
Brian
there.
Robson. Do you reckon?
I don't know. If you're playing... Listen, if Rigg is looking for the centre midfielder role, he's probably not going to get it. Like our... Middle two is going to be Dan Neil and Diarra, and then further forward, Lafay.
I feel like Lafay's more further forward 10 types. You know, like I know we played him up wide a bit, but I feel like...
Yeah, we had lots of injuries then, though, didn't we? Like, he was filling in the role, wasn't he? So, like, I kind of see
I want to see him in the middle.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
100%.
Well, you're looking on the left wing versus the right wing last season was a very, very strange dynamic. Roberts started every week, even though I think sometimes he didn't justify it. But on the left, you had Mundo,
sometimes
Watson. I'm being fair. I'm trying to be nice. You had Mundell, Watson, and Lafleur all competing for it, and all three of them were probably arguably the best player on the pitch on every single time they were on there. With the exception of a game here or there, but
I don't think we're seeing the best out of the team. I feel like Lafleur, like if you look at the, he's a great passer of the ball, right? Mm. He obviously is skillful, but. I feel like his greatest asset is finding a pass, you know, vision.
Well, and both of our Wembley goals came
from
his vision.
He is like a David Silver, isn't he?
I think he was a bit pigeonholed with due to injuries, but, you know, I don't think we've seen the best of him. And I think if we bring in better players where the pressure's off him, do you know what I mean? Because sometimes, you know...
Yeah,
working in that sort of three in midfield, if you like, it was more graft than there was sort of like ingenuity. Do you know what I mean? It was so I want to see him a bit freer. Do you know what I mean? Behind that fucking front two or one or whatever it is, you know, let's see what he can do in that part of the fucking field. Like,
yeah,
fair.
I agree.
You mentioned just still on this.
Yeah, that's exactly where I was going to go, mate. The centre halves. Like, I mean, I'm in agreement with Alan. Like, I don't like, I'm not completely sold on our current crop of centre halves. Dan Ballard's obviously really good, and he can fill in there. I mean, I'm not sure I want to see him start a centre half every week. I would rather get someone in there.
I don't think we finished doing business. I thought, you know, although Mepham, I don't know what's going on with Mepham, I still feel like he could do a job.
I'd love to see him back for a year.
Oh, yeah, like... I definitely would love to see him back. I feel like, you know, what's on the market at the minute and how the market is, I feel like, and he knows the club. Mm-hmm. I feel like.
And he's done it in the Premier League. Like, he's got Premier League experience, right? So.
Yeah,
that to me. If we can get him in on loan or a short term deal, that feels like a no brainer to me.
But I mean,
obviously Bournemouth are going through. They sell Kirkland. Bournemouth have gone through transition at the minute, and they've sold Kirkes.
Yeah.
They've sold Kirkes. Yeah. More of a left back, but like you know what I mean. So I feel like
Bournemouth are getting good. Brentford are getting good. Even Forest are on their players stolen away. So. Yeah, those sort of teams are in transition. So you know, I don't think Mepham will be playing much for Bournemouth if he does stay there.
No,
I don't know. Has he got another year in his contract at Bournemouth?
I think Bournemouth have built themselves to not need him at the moment, and like you said, they've got a bit of a restructure. So he was already kind of halfway on the way out. He's played a couple of seasons for them already. Last year, obviously, out on loan. They're probably looking to offload him as soon as possible. So if he is going on a free, that might be perfect for us. But again, it's just, you've got to balance it, right? I don't think he's a person we're paying these big, silly fees that we're paying so far for everybody else. But if he's, say, like between that... anywhere between 3 to 7 million, I think that's the right kind of value that anybody would pay for him. So, yeah, I don't know. I think it'd be good to have it.
Yeah. But I don't think we've finished doing business. So, you know, it's still early on in the chance for a winner. Now we've signed five during the window on the fee. But
yeah.
I still think we're still doing business. And a centre half has got to be, and a goalkeeper has got to be priority, you know, for me. Because, up top and goal scorers is nice. I think Meander can do it in the Premier League. I don't know about Wilson. I feel like he can go missing. Great player, you know, when he wants to be. But I think Meander is more industrious, and I don't think it'd be, you know what I mean? He's more
different
dynamic.
Sort of player, and he's bigger and he's big and strong. And Wilson's the kind of bloke who's going to spin off the last defender and run in behind, right? Or take a great touch and smash it. Whereas Meander, he's got more of like a a presence, doesn't he? So he could be the sort of bloke who they play the ball up to, he holds the ball up while everyone fucking tries to get on the field. I can see that happening quite a lot. And you just to see, circle back to Chris Meffham, just before we move on, his deal has expired, but Bournemouth have got the option of an extra year, so they can extend it by a year. So they could extend it by a year just to sell him, get some money out of it.
Mm.
So we can go back to the end and Wilson now.
To be fair, I'd
like to see Meander given a chance. I think he was really good at the start of last season.
Yeah.
He was unlucky to lose his spot, and he was really good at the back end of last season.
Cool. I'm gonna, basically, you're not talking nonsense because again, I'm gonna just catch up on the chat that's come through so far. So welcome along, Paul, Rosie, Brad, Alan, and Sun Tzu. Bonk's popped on there. So Suns 2 has basically agreed with the point. We don't have any out-and-out number 10s or number 6s. Neil Lafay, Diarra, Rigg are all more number 8 style, really. Maybe Siddiqui's more of a number 6, but I also heard he's more of an 8, according to the experts, whoever those experts are. And then Alan said, it's a bit worrying we've spent a net 60 million approximately, but we still have no forward centre defences or keeper. So again, I don't think we need a forward.
I do think we need a centre half.
But you've mentioned Wilson there, though. You're not 100% sure on Wilson delivering. No, so I think we need more than one that you're confident with.
I'm confident with both of them. I think what will happen is it'll be the Bree will decide who his striker is based on the opposition. So do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like he's astute enough to do that, right? So, they're a big team, a bit slower at the back. We might put Wilson on. He might fucking spin them inside out. You know? Oh, they're not so much they're going to sit deep. We're not going to need a meander. Like, I'm not concerned about up front. I would like to see a centre-half.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to get dragged into the Pato debate.
Pato to me wingers is exactly can like contribute. Thing, so.
But I want to stay on the sort of forward situation. I feel like wingers can contribute and Lafay can contribute as well. You know what I mean? Like, it's not as simple as like, oh, this is a fucking flat 4-4-2 and the centre forwards have to score. I feel like that them days are gone. So, you know, we don't know yet, but maybe what we've got in the pitch can, you know, produce enough efforts on goal and goals without going in the market for a forward. You know what I mean? Because forwards, let's be honest, tough draw forwards, you know, they're a lot of money. You know what I mean? Like your Haaland.
You're talking over 50, 60 million, aren't you, for a decent forward?
You know, Kane, you know, they are top draw money, which we haven't got. Maybe the club are looking at different ways to create and score goals.
And like you said, I think the current nature of football has completely moved away from that needing two strikers to potentially like both feed the goal. Like it is just that pure specialist role, and the rest of the pitch is about control. So yeah, I think you're right in that we might just go with one striker per game. And before last season, we were like, we need strikers. Last season we got four in, and we've kept two of them pretty much as our favourites thereafter. So it does balance out a little bit. And I think it is one of those positions where you've got to be very, very careful in over committing to somebody. There is one name that's been mentioned in that as well. And I'm just going to say categorically, no, get fucked, fuck off, no, thank you. And that's Callum Wilson. Sorry, I'm not having a man.
No, no chance. No. It's not that. He's washed. He's washed, mate. He's injury prone. Yeah. He's washed. You know what I mean? It's not the fact.
Even if he wanted the mags, he's one of the most injury prone players in the fucking league. He scores when he's on the pitch. Yeah, he scores. I understand. I don't know how he got a fucking collar for England, but that aside, he's not going to do it over a 40 game season.
No,
like, he's going to miss more than half. Nah, not for me.
Yeah.
Again, I'm going to do a quick little catch up on the chat. Rosie's donated £2. Thank you very much, Rosie.
£2? Oh, Rosie, well in. What are you going to spend that £2 on?
That's in my back pocket. Thanks very much.
What are you going to spend the £2 on, Smudge?
What's £2 in Australian dollars? How much is £2 in Australian dollars?
I don't know, like £4? $4?
$4?
Yeah.
Will that get you like a bag of crisps?
I don't know, but it doesn't matter. The gestures lovely. I don't know if you can afford, like, you don't get normal packs of crisps here in Australia.
You only get the big
party bags.
What, layers?
You don't get little normal.
No, grab bags, nah.
Mate, you're telling me that Australians don't eat normal size bags of crisps.
The normal size is like the full party bags. Like a Doritos style.
This is madness.
This is
what nasty. Kind of Neanderthal place are you living in?
Right, okay, so the whole part of I don't want to get into the politics of Alice Springs, but no one is saying...
Angel Pine.
That's it. So, Bong, I think we did eventually say it. Mepham must have agreed his extension to his contract, or he would have went to us on a free, so that would have been good. Sun Stu is saying, under KLD, the club hasn't spent any transfer fees on a single player over the age of 24 or 25. Can you see this changing during the window? Early signs suggest no, and I would say probably no as well.
No.
The free transfers are towards that tail end.
It's going to have to be some really special player, isn't it?
If we're paying big money, right, it's for resale. It's the same with Job, you know what I mean? And that's the way we're going. DR is we've got him for 30 million, but we're looking at resale future. Whatever happens to Sunderland in the future, it's about recuperating that money. So, we're not going to change the way we do business.
Yeah, this might change your stance on it. Rick asks, have we got anyone that can actually take a penalty? Is that something we actively
We don't need to take penalties.
I mean, it might be our only way we win games at some point.
One of the new guys will take a penalty. Yeah.
Mundell can, apparently.
Do you know what I'm going to say about... doesn't make me laugh, it's just the way, because now we're in the Premier League, and you listen more about the Premier League. Last season it was all about the Championship and you weren't really bothered about the Premier League, but now about Man U, Spurs doing business. No one's mentioned Sunderland. They're talking about West Ham, about selling Kudus and what they're going to do. No one's mentioned Sunderland. And I'm happy that's the case. I hope we surprise a few people. Look at the state of Man U. Man U can't even get Mbeumo across the line. You know what I mean? 55 million. Ratcliffe doesn't want to pay 55 million. Do you know what I mean? We're in a position at the minute. We're in a better position. Although Man U's probably got better players, but we're in a better position when it comes to recruitment and getting what we want. You know, so...
What I would say about that is...
Why are you just carrying on? Go on.
I agree. What I would say about... If you're a player, and you're right, it's half to do with the upper echelons at Man United. If you're a player looking to move, do you look at Man United and think, this is a club that I want to be a part of? Or do you look at Man United and think, this club's in fucking shambles, like from top to bottom?
Shit state, mate. They're in a shit state.
Why would you want to do that?
I will say this about Man U and Tottenham as a collective. I think last season is a bit of a freak. But I will also add the caveat that they're not impervious to not going down. If they continue that trend of players just absolutely going on a wobble, there's only so many seasons in a row where the three promoted teams are going to be absolutely just dead weight in the league. And I think this potentially, outside of Sunderland, I think this might be one of the best chances of potentially all three teams staying up.
I'm not sure about all three teams staying up. I think we've got a chance of one or two. And this loops back to the point we were talking earlier on. Like, there's some teams in the league who are getting absolutely fucking gutted. Like Brentford, big example.
got shot on
Wolves, Brentford.
Norgaard. Well, yeah, I know he's gone from Wolves. The striker's gone. Kuna's gone to Man United. Like,
because of the new stadium, like, they're not spending.
There's a lot of teams getting Forest. Gutted. Forest is another one. Like, there's a chance. Just from the outside looking in, that we could be in a better position than one or two of them.
Yeah. So
yeah.
I do want to say, like, Giants have fallen in the past as well. You got to remember Wimbledon just fell down the leagues. Nottingham Forest were on top of the world in the 70s and 80s, and they started to crumble down. Like, nobody, regardless of how big their brand or their budget is, if it's down to pure footballing talent and prowess, any team in this league can beat any other team on the day. And if you get too cocky and confident with it, I don't know. I think our favourite friends across the road, they were too big for the britches for a long time as well. No. But when they went down, they came straight back up. So it's a case of, is the three teams going up and down going to be constantly like the same three or four, six teams?
I don't believe so. Look, I'm not saying we're not going to go down, but I think, like I said last season, you know, we've got a good chance of going up. Now this season, I feel like we've got a good chance of staying up. Just let the club carry on the way they're gone.
We're making the right moves, aren't we?
We are. Yeah. You know, and we can't more. Even if we do struggle, and, you know, and gone down, the club's got a plan. You know, like I said, resale. Mm-hmm. People, they'll have clauses in the contract about if we get relegated, they'll go. You know, and recouping the money. So, look, it is what it is. I'm happy at the minute. You know, and let's just see how the first three games go. Like, let's forget about the friendlies, but the first three Premier League games.
Pre-season games tonight, though. But I don't know if I'm going to do the academy one, because there's two games, right? One's our academy squad and one's our first team. Is that how they advertised it?
Well, it's 20 quid to go and watch it. I'm not fucking paying that, can't I? But, you know, I'm not going to give 20 quid to Heaven Town to go and watch Blake Gateshead, because I was thinking about going, but.
Yeah, fair enough. Well, I'll be doing a stream, and hopefully I'll fix all your audio issues and stuff. So, well,
all right now, man. It's sort of.
Yeah, it's all right. Second half's been good. You're gonna have to cut the first bit, mate, because it was all over the shop.
I'm gonna definitely trim it as well, because, like you said, we actually did a couple of minutes beforehand.
That's the goal, mate. Don't take that. That's the best bit.
Well, if you can't hear me, half the conversation is just.
That's why it's the best bit.
That's the best bit.
I'm just on the point before we move on. The first three games, I just look at the fixtures here, are West Ham, Burnley and Brentford. Now, West Ham, Burnley and Brentford. That's not a bad first three games.
No, it's a gift, mate. It's a gift.
We could start off, the next game's Palace. So, you know, it's not fucking Man City, Liverpool, Arsenal, is it? It's...
No.
Yeah, but again, we've got to treat every one of them like it's a knockout game.
Oh.
I'm not saying that that's not the case. I'm just saying there could have been worse.
Yeah. I think one of the things we need to also like be very conscious of, especially in this league, Phil Wallen has joined the chat. Welcome along. He's a Leeds fan. And obviously they came up a couple of seasons ago, came back down, came back up again. It's not going to be easy. It's not going to be like every game that's on there. We just need to work out where we need to focus our energies and put all our eggs in that basket as many times as we possibly can for each game. So I think if we get to around 25 points by the end of January, we're in for a good chance of survival.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, definitely, because mid-December onwards is a rough ride. So if we are anywhere near that, that means we've done it pretty well in the first couple of months of the season.
It's all about performance. Is survival number? You know what I mean? Oh, it's fucking, I'm going to say 40, I mean, what is it? What was it? It's fairly low last year. I can't remember.
It was 38 was Man. It was Tottenham, wasn't it? But it was 20.
40 points has got to be the goal.
It's always 40 points, isn't it? I mean, it hasn't been 40 points for a few seasons, but it should be. That's why. Do you know what I mean? Like, what was the last? I think didn't Sheffield United go down on 40 points? Like that was the last. It was the. Do you remember when Carlos Tevez signed for West Ham? Tevez and Mascherano signed for West Ham, and then Tevez scored against Tevez scored against Chef United on the last day of the season or something. Anyway, Chef United finished on 40 points and got relegated.
Yeah,
I mean,
pretty sure that's what happened. But it's, look, yeah, upper 30s, isn't it? That's where you got
to
go.
I'll say about Labrie. What I'll say about like what he did last season. Forget about the last five games when we went in the playoffs, right? Because we knew what was going on now. He made a lot of wholesale changes, resting players, getting players back from injury, and players had switched off. Inevitable. Yeah. But he had plans for both Coventry games and the final. Well, not so much the final, but definitely for the Coventry games. But he's not frightened to fucking change things around and move things around when we're getting beat. You know what I mean? So I feel like it doesn't look to me like he's ever under pressure, but he might be. Do you know what I mean? But I feel he's got a plan, and I think that's what he'll be doing throughout the season. He'll be planning for particular games, and we won't have a certain style of player, which is great. You know what I mean? It keeps other teams on their toes because they won't know what we're gonna do. Although I still think it'll be built around counter attack, but you know. I just got to trust in Labrie's decision making.
I think you're 100% on the counter attack point, mate, because all of our players that we're getting in are pacey as fuck. Like, they're rapid.
It feels to me like we're going to have like a strong core, like a Dan Neil and Diarra with our back line. As in, fucking just sit there, don't fucking move, do your job, sort of shebang. And then the other four players are kind of free to go and do whatever it is they need to do.
Yeah. Do you think we'll play a lot of football like that? Those Coventry legs, where we're defending a lot, we're not getting a lot of the ball.
I think you have to. Like, I mean, the gulf between the top six, seven teams and us is fucking massive. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, you can't go into those games and play over expansive football against teams that have been assembled for £1 billion. Do you know what I mean?
No. Well, Chelsea fucking keep on. I don't think Chelsea believe in fucking FFP. You know what I mean? They just fucking spend, and it's fucking mad.
That loophole's been bridged now, though, right? Where they just spend it and spread it over 8 years.
Chelsea in shambles again.
This is the last season where that loophole is active from January window onwards. The the max cap you can have on any purchase is 5 years. So basically, any player's maximum time with any club. In the Premier League, at least, is 5 years from January onwards. So that has obviously been a very contentious thing. But you're looking at some of the offloading projects that we mentioned earlier on, the Nottingham Forest, the Brighton, the Bournemouth. That's because they've got some of those longer contracts that they can't really justify. So they want to get them off the books and get somebody new in. So it's a juggling act. It's a balancing act. But who gets a right is going to be put on the pitch, right? It's not. If we spend what were the fourth highest spenders in Europe,
92 million, I think we spent them
in the first 6 weeks, it doesn't really mean that much unless we actually start picking up points on the pitch.
I mean,
everything's a gamble.
Mm-hmm.
Everything's a gamble, you know what I mean, at this level. But what I'd say is it's nice to see the club doing it, you know what I mean? Because we never thought they'd gone out and fucking splash the cash on five players, especially breaking the transfer record twice. We didn't think that would happen. But, you know, it's... Who knows?
Yeah, just on that, by the way, this obviously, I think it's the way the Premier League has moved as well, but all of our signings are in the top 10, apart from, obviously, Rinaldo. All of our paid signings this window have been in our top 10 all-time highest ever fees paid. So is that the price you're going to pay for survival?
Yeah. I mean, it is.
Unfortunately.
Yeah, I mean,
and it's good the club recognising that the club have seen it. You know what I mean? They've had a plan. You know, so regardless of what's happened, like, fans can't mourn because we've gone out and they've put the fucking money up. You know, they spent and they said, "This is how we're going to do business."
Can you imagine the fucking excitement on the stands if we fucking started the season with one new player? Do you know what I mean? It would cost less than we sold for Joe and Bielan.
They'd be raging. Yeah, but the club's been run extremely well. So
Which, if you said this 2 years ago, we would have laughed you out the window.
Well, yeah, of course we would have. You know, and look, let's talk about KLD and about how we thought about him and thinking, is he just playing at this? Because I said it, I thought, is he just playing fucking real life football manager with his fucking dad's money? You know, obviously not. You know what I mean? He obviously means business.
Yeah.
And you know, great. You know, I'm happy for the club because you know we suffered for fucking eight years. You know, well, you know, not so much the last couple of years, but you know, League One was harsh. You know what I mean? So
rough
no Sunderland fan can mourn. And what I don't want to see next season is people turning and getting on players, but it's a different fucking league. You can't be jumping on players' backs, you know what I mean? You've just got to sometimes accept that we are going to get beat. It's not like the Championship where the majority of teams we play, we think, you know what, we could win this. That ain't the case in this league. You know what I mean? It's, you know, fans have got to be realistic.
Well, I don't know if you remember, but like at the start of last season, the supercomputer had us, I think it was finishing 23rd in the Championship.
Right, okay.
So as it went on, we're like, we're winning these games. Even when we won our first six games, we were still like 40% on to get relegated. And it's like somebody or the computers, the algorithms, doesn't really matter where you're looking at for what's happened in the past. It's, again, who's on the pitch and who's actually performing. With Labrie being there, I do think we've got a lot more confidence. The Premier League have obviously, they will do a lot of research on like how he's managed those, mainly those two playoff games, playoff ties, I guess, as his main breaker. But they'll not look further back, or they'll not look to the like the games where he's not in the row, because it's just a strange one. Like, is he coming into the Premier League fresh? He'll be, well, like a lot of our players, experience the Premier League for the first time. You can plan it out so far ahead, but is that our advantage?
I mean, I don't think that teams will not do their research and how Labrie might set up. I don't think they're naive enough not to do that. But let's not forget, before Labrie came to us, he did pretty well in the French League. With the exception of the year before he came to us because of situation.
Well, he got cut though, didn't he? You know,
exactly, right? And sold all of his players. Yeah, not his fault. Like, he was doing the best he could with what he had, right? But he did pretty well before that. So he's managed against big teams, your Lyons, your Marseilles, your PSGs. He's seen it before, right? So I one thing that I don't have any... I'm not worried about is Labrie's ability to pick a side and play, get them the team playing in a certain way to get a result. I think he is tactically one of our better managers over the past decade or more.
I agree. Like, I put him on the same kind of paring mentally now, at least, with somewhere between Moyes. When he did the survival season, and Sam Allardyce, like, he's somewhere in between that, like, tactically.
I mean, I don't feel.
I don't know.
I heard you like spurt out a raspberry at the Moyes decision.
No, I just
Moyes for us wasn't great.
It wasn't a raspberry. Overall, it was more of a lip blow.
Moyes is a good manager. He is. He just set himself on a bad foot as soon as he got in our door.
I tell you what, I'll quit him too. Right, and it's not even really a good comparison. But do you remember Gus Poyet? Like, he was a thinker, wasn't he? he played in a certain way. He had a certain way that he wanted to play, and he was very tactically aware of what was going on.
I think Dos Poyet's problem was his language barrier.
The Poyet's problem was he wanted to play possession football, passing it across the back line.
We didn't have the players. We didn't have the players to play it.
Well, we didn't have the players, and two, the fans were fucking bored. They were like, kick the ball. I remember I was going to the games. They were like, kick the fucking ball up the pitch. Like, it was literally like, 20 minutes of the fucking 90 minutes was just passing across the back line, and fans got upset about it.
What I say about Lebrun's temperament is there's the motion. There is no, like, I'm not saying he hasn't got any emotion, but he just doesn't look phased. Like, it's like,
I agree with that. Yeah.
You know, it doesn't look like he's under any pressure.
I've seen this before, sort of like, do you know what I mean? Like,
it's like, that might change next.
He knows what adjustment he has to make based on you know what he's seeing in front of him. Like, he's never flabbing. He's never caught one.
And that's what I want the players to play like. No pressure. Like, let's just let them see how they get on. And you know, we, the first three games, I'll then judge how it's going to go. But like, I'm not worried. You know, I know it's going to be hard, but like, I feel like there's other teams in that league who were under massive amounts of pressure. You know what I mean? Like, we've mentioned Wolves, Man U. You know what I mean? They're under a lot more pressure than what we are. You know what I mean? So,
mate, I'd put West Ham in there. I'd put Brentford in there.
Well, yeah, like, West Ham, Brentford.
Everton.
You know what I mean?
Like, Everton have been under pressure for a lot of seasons in a row now. Like,
Here's another suggestion which rarely gets chucked in there. Fulham.
Fulham just
stable.
In the middle of that.
Yeah.
Well,
finished
10th. Material mediocrity. They're happy to finish that like every season, you know. So, I'd be happy with that.
Did they get into Europe this year? Did they get in the Conference League?
I don't think they did.
No.
That might go in their favour as well, because obviously the. I do think this is an absolute cork, by the way, from every Premier League team, the fixture congestion conversation. What a load of nonsense that is. Honestly, they probably play
less games this year than we've played like in the last
on average
we've played like 15 games a season.
We'll have played 9 games by the end of October. That's it.
Fuck all that.
Like,
that's probably about 20 in the championship.
Exactly.
Yeah, we'll have done half the season by then, the championship. So let's. I'm not.
Like, this all fixture the congestion. Whatever, mate.
Don't get me wrong, December looks awful, but it's 1 month.
But December's always been bad, though. Like, this isn't a new thing. Like, this was the same last time we were in the fucking Premier League. Yeah. Like, you had fucking 6 games in 4 weeks or something. Like, that's nothing new.
It's not new for us, at least, and I think it's not new for the promoted teams. I am not going to be able to read anything Mackham on a Mission has said. Just read them, you will laugh. I just can't. I just can't.
Is it rude?
It's like inappropriate language, is it?
It's very inappropriate language. One of them's just a rumor, and the other one's an allegation. That's funny.
An allegation.
Oh God!
Right,
we've passed them. Them days are gone for us. So we've moved on from that.
But Bong has done some couple of suggestions of signing, so we'll go into that after I'll speak about Sunstu and Hutchinski's comments. So Sunstu says this about Labrie. Labrie is quite pragmatic. He's not like Frank, Russell Martin, or McKenna, who stick to their principles of playing one way. Good defensively and quick counter attacking is likely how we will stay up. Again, that pretty much reaffirms what we've been discussing so far.
I agree.
But then Hutchinski has said, I heard Labrie has a degree in man management and tactical management. Yeah, he's Dr. Labrie. He's Dr.
Labrie. We said this, didn't we?
That's a good doctor. You late to the party, mate. We were there at his graduation.
Farker. Oh, Farker. Yeah, that's me.
being dyslexic, but whatever. Yeah, Parker. Dr. Labrie, like you said, I think he's got that maturity in him to balance the game. He's using what information he's seeing on the pitch to actually like adapt throughout the game.
Yeah.
And again, that was it the second leg against Coventry was a really good example. The second half in the final, great example of just first half wasn't working, let's fix it up.
And yeah.
I think the players back him on that. So, yeah, trust Labrie, happy with that. And then finally, we did discuss the comings and goings already, but is there any players on the market or any players that you think will be a really good fit versus what we have now? And I will add the final point, which is also in the chat, because we only have two fit centre-backs at the moment.
Yeah, this is the point we were talking about earlier on. Yeah. Like we need someone at our ass. Yeah. Sorry, I'll go on.
I'm on a mission. I cannot read your comments out, man.
I don't know if this is fucking Jen, but we're looking at the bloke from West Ham. Is it a guard, centre half, 29-year-old?
Okay.
I think we've been fishing around him. Like I said, I still think we're not done in the market. So, you know, I think they've highlighted centre half and goalkeeper, because I've heard Aaron Ramsdale has been bandied around.
I see him working a few times.
I'd be surprised if he comes here. I might be wrong. I'd be surprised.
I think we'll see a centre half and a goalie come in. That's what I think.
So on the goalie point, what was the point of Simon Moore and then Decker? Like, what was the point?
Simon was just cover. He didn't do a lot wrong, I don't think, but he wasn't first choice. Pato has always been first choice, and it's like I said before, the way the club do business is he's young enough to get, we can get, if we have to sell him on or he wants to go, we can get money out of him. So,
We've got Blondie.
Is he still here, is he?
Yeah. Connor runs to the end next year.
He's under 21. Is he under 21?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Pretty much.
Wait, he's 23.
Is it young as well? Are you like the title? Please, Andrew? I think he was a Salford. No. He was a Salford last year, wasn't he? I think.
Did well.
The playoffs. So, look,
good player.
We'll just see what the club do, but I think there's going to be still some movement, especially in defence.
This is a really good point again from Stu. All of our signings so far have come relatively out of the blue with the deal already done. So the players that we've been linked with from a long-term perspective, he says, I think it's safe to assume it's probably all just BS. It's bullshit. Like, if we've got somebody linked, like Henderson, was linked with us before the window even started.
That's a different story in it, because he was he made noises that he was looking to leave Ajax, like, and we'd just been promoted and there was a bit of a story there, and like, I can understand how maybe, I mean, I was one of them. I was like, probably Henderson's going to end up at Sunderland. I was wrong. He's going to fucking Brentford or where he's gone. Like, but there was like a logical path a thread you could follow through that would, you know. You could justify the chat, couldn't you? Whereas the rest of them are a bit like, you just like plucked a fucking name out of nowhere. And went, yeah, probably him.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
My point on transfers, just before we shuffle on, is I know we sold Job and we sold Watson. If we ended up selling, for example, Trey Hume, I would be really upset.
Gutted.
I mean, people have been sniffing around him. What do you mean he's saying that? No. I mean, he was linked with, I think, Everton and Leeds and all sorts. I've seen names bandied about. Do not...
No.
You're watching KLD and co. Do not fucking sell Trey Hume. He is mid.
Is there anybody on our team that is actually unsellable?
Unsellable.
I don't think anyone's unsellable, mate. I think if the price is right, it'll go, especially at this level.
Agreed. So if someone came with a 50 million bid for Trey Hume, he'd be gone. I don't want that to happen. I think it'd be a massive, massive hole to fill.
I don't think. I think Hume's probably looking at it like, you know, why would he want to go into Leeds or whatever? You know what I mean? If he's going to move, go somewhere where, I don't know, they're the upper echelons of the league. There's European football. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? He's going to want to. You're just going to go from one dogfight to another. So, I don't think he's going to leave. I don't think he wants to leave. And I think if it'd have to be someone, you know, who's a big draw. Not them two clubs you mentioned.
Yeah. Paul Wilson has just mentioned, said, wait, I don't know why I would be pleased. He says, mm-hmm. You'll be pleased. Abdullah Bar has been told to leave.
What? What? They've just kicked him out the Academy of Light. The security just took him in. Get out, mate. Here's your boxing kit in. On you go.
Is the thing right? I forgot we had Abdullah Bar on the books, so I'm not that cut up.
There's a lot of fodder down there. That
he had a good song though, didn't he? Like that's we'll give him that.
I was very nervous he was going to get his 10 goals in the season at one point. That never happened.
He did. I remember he had a fruitful period.
Yeah, there was like
and then, 10 there games, was a sort of time where you thought. Yeah, he played well, and then all of a sudden we're like, ooh, maybe not.
We didn't have a striker, did we?
I'm wondering if I should do the same gamble, the same bet as last, not last season, the season before. I'm thinking the bet is,
come on, man.
If the Mags pick up 6 points against us, I will wear.
I mean that.
No.
That's not a bet, mate. No, that's not a bet you want to be doing.
But if we win 6 points, I burn a shirt.
No, don't take that.
I feel like I don't even want to think about that. Them two games till the week before.
The literal minute the kickoff's happening.
Yeah, I don't want to think about them two games because it'll make me sick. Obviously, they're in a great position, you know what I mean? And they're in fucking the Champions League. And
I'm not too sure they are, though. I know they're obviously they are where they are because of the season, but I'm not sure if they'll keep Isaac, if they'll keep Gordon. And
a lot of big teams in for a striker. But, I mean, if they didn't make the Champions League, which, by the way, they shouldn't have because it was a referee and fuck up that allowed them to get in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Isaac would already be fucking gone.
Yeah, well, they're in it, so let's hope they get a lot of injuries. Look, I'll take two fucking draws in the derby.
I agree with that one.
2-0.
That's funny. There you go. Gordon is definitely leaving. There you go. Bye bye.
Where would Gordon go, though? Like, I don't think he'll leave. I think people fucking love him there.
The zoo, the fucking giraffe.
It's like a fucking rat. I can't see Gordon leaving there. Like I say, he's got a big contract, and people fucking love him. He scores goals. They all get the little fucking rat masks out and crack on.
Right.
There you go. Right. We have one last question, and I think this one's a quite a nice one from Bong. What's your thoughts on the away strip?
Right, I have thoughts. I didn't buy it. I looked at it and thought, I'm gonna wait and see what the third kit and the home kit looks like before I commit.
I am in the exact position.
It wasn't an immediate buy, whereas the one that you're wearing right now, Smithy, I went out and bought it the day it came out.
The thing is, the home kit last season came out first, then this. And I went, okay, I've got to get, and then this I've got to get, and then the third kid came out. I was like, I don't need to be in the Wetherspoons.
What I'm going to say about the kit is, I like the colour. I mean, I had the original 1990 blue away kit.
With it.
Not had Vox on it.
Oh, so,
I love that kit, right? But I feel like. Them pictures of the lighthouse and it just I don't know. I like the colour. I do like the colour. I like the design. I like the badge. It's just them lighthouses are like sort of putting me off. I don't know what it is. I'm not saying it's terrible, right? Crouchy's bought it. And by the way, Crouchy's said get the next size up because he was the litmus test. Because like I'm an XL, he says get a double XL because it's a snug fit. So. Yeah. Like Andrew says, I'm going to probably wait to see what the third and the fucking away and the home kit's like. But yeah, the kit's okay. But I'm not like, oh yeah, that is amazing. Do you know what I mean?
I'm old enough. I want to see what they're probably going to debut the home kit tomorrow, right? That's what they did last year.
Yeah. I don't think it's going to be as good as last year. I don't think like last year was just
it was a lot of like, you know, memories of the past and, you know, retro and
it all came together,
in the promotion. So I don't think it beat last year, but yeah, I still think it's a good kit. But you know, let's see what the other two are like.
I think the kit's all right. I want to see the other two before I decide which one I'm going to buy.
Yeah, and to be fair, I think I'm very, 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 very lucky in that my birthday is in September. So sometimes I get myself the home kit, and then if I really like another one, that would be a very nice birthday present.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you don't have to wait for the sales or anything like that. So,
I tell you what, if you look at the shop, right, there's one which I like. I'm probably going to buy it. It's a Sunderland tracksuit top. It's a dark blue, and it's Hummel, and it's got the old badge on.
Mm-hmm.
It's not as, you know what I mean, it's not as brash, but it's smart. Do you know what I mean? So I think they'll probably go the same way with you know, training tops and other stuff by Hummel. Like, you know, there was a good line last year, like the, you know, the black and yellow tracky top. I quite like that, so I still think they're probably going down the same vein, like, you know. So there'll be more stuff than just the kit.
Well, if the Macam on a Mission pointed out that the third kit looks like it's going to be black and gold, that does look good. If that leak is correct,
I've seen that. Yeah. That looks alright. To be fair,
pretty good.
Yeah.
Bong and Rosie both calling out, please like and subscribe. So thank you.
We haven't said it yet.
Yeah. Well, you know, are you going to get more viewers? You see, I want to, just before we knock off, I just want to talk about YouTubers and, you know, there's one. I'll let you finish and we'll talk about
perfect. I'm just going to finish the last bit on the kit one. Can I just say, this keeper kit is by far the fucking sexiest keeper kit I've seen some have.
Mate, you know what? I'm looking at it right now.
Fucking lovely. I want, like, that is. Beautiful.
I mean, that is right of your Straza, isn't it? Like that is a bit of you.
That is very me. I love, like, if we don't have a good home kit and I'm still
gonna buy the keeper kit. The
wicked, I'm gonna go for the keeper kit because my god, that is beautiful.
It is a good kit. I'm looking at it right now. It's pretty good. Like,
got rookie keeper top is beautiful. Like I don't know if you remember last season's keeper kit, but it just reminded me of Nazi Germany. The pattern was like. Did you not see? Sure. Did you not see like the green chevron, like the green angular cubic pattern?
Shout out to the SS destroyers.
I mean, I know they're a German company, but come on, don't want that.
I didn't like last year's keeper kit. The green one. Well, it hurt my eyes.
This season. Right. Alan, on to the YouTubers.
Well, yeah. Yeah, so, like, you know, I watch a lot of them. Like, obviously, I talk with you. I watch your stuff.
Yeah.
Well, like, you know, it's the usual. Like, Charlie and Steve, I watch them. Mad Mistake. Obviously, Bowers. You know what I mean? The usual ones.
Yeah,
but this is fucking one at them. Eddie Bamba. Well, you know, all them. But there's a one where it's like automated, and I don't know how long this has been going on. But it's
what
like
do you mean automated?
It's like AI, and it's
the AI.
Well, no, it's just like the content is terrible, and it's just I feel like it's like a bandwagon type YouTube channel. I can't remember what the name of it is.
What like? Your man's
is it
like
that Geordie we had the other year? It was the American Magpie or something.
No, because he was actually live.
Geordie Melts.
Yeah, FTM to all the Geordie belts. I remember that when we got them out. It's quite funny. But it's automated. I'll find out what the name of it is, and it's just, I feel like it's just appeared on the scene. Because,
is it like someone's like typed it in the ChatGPT?
Yeah.
And got, yeah, right.
Yeah, and it's terrible. And it's not make me angry because, you know, you any do, sort of publicity.
Know, you do know there's a feature on YouTube where you go, not interested in this content.
Yeah, but it's my club, so I am interested in it. But
that's
it's
not the point, really, is it?
You can literally block channels. You can literally go, not interested in this creator.
That, I don't think that's the point Alan's making. Like, he could press the block button.
Yeah, I'll tell you what it's called. It's called Sunderland AFC News TV Channels. That's what it's called. You've seen it?
I've seen it, yeah. But for me, like, it was like last season or the season before, it was just old highlights.
It's like shite news on a reel. It looks like it's just come out. Has it been out a while, has it?
Yeah, it's been out a while. It'll tell you the age of the channel, so it might be two different ones.
Right.
I'm not too sure where Ricky's coming.
Right, okay.
Yeah, he says, if you're not concerned about upfront, then you don't know what you're talking about. Meander has promise of the Premier League in the future. Isidore's not good enough to be your forward in the Premier League.
Who said that?
We don't know that, do we? We don't know that yet.
What was that guy's name?
We've never been in the Premier League for a while, so let's just wait and see.
But Ricky? Yeah,
we'll reiterate this last point again, though. Out of every player that's coming into it, we've only had, until yesterday morning, none of our players had ever played in the Premier League. There's only Simon Adingra that's come from a Premier League side. So we're an untapped horse, right?
Uncharted territory.
Yeah.
Listen, Ricky, I mean, I hate to disagree with you, but I don't think you know what you're talking about, lad.
No, I think he's actually agreeing with you, though. You need at least two central defenders and one centre-forward and a goalkeeper. So we are, we're on the same, like, while we're recruiting, but maybe...
I don't think centre-forward is our priority. I think goalie and centre-half is.
Yeah, okay. But here, I think we've all identified that's the place that we all need to recruit, though, or look at.
Mm-hmm.
Bong says, I know who you're talking about. It's the... Bellend in New Now, they're called Sunderland AFC News. I don't know where New Now is. What is New Now?
Do you know?
New Now is just beside Tendon,
Timbuktu.
I've never heard of it.
Never heard of it.
New Now, how do you spell New Now? NUNOW.
NEWNOW.
I don't know what he's trying to say there, but
nah.
Yeah, I agree with him. It's fucking shite.
Let's mass report it.
We'll end
you're looking at the stream now. Go mass report that other one.
How do we sign off these Premier League podcasts then?
Don't know, mate. How do you want to do it? It's your podcast, mate.
I'd say it's pre-season.
I think we'll try and work it out, but I think my vibe is going to be, lads, fuck the mags. We are Premier League.
That's the same as last year, mate.
but now I can say we are
how about like and subscribe? Because you didn't say that enough.
I rarely say it. Like and subscribe. See you on the next one.